Ezekiel chapter 8. In the sixth year, in the sixth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I sat in my house. Now, Ezekiel is in captivity, remember. He was one of the first captives who was taken to Babylon. The elders of Judah sat before me, and the hand of the Lord fell upon me, and I saw, and behold, a likeness as the appearance of fire. From the appearance of his waist and downward, fire, and from his waist and upward as the appearance of brightness, as it were glowing metal. He put forth the form of a hand, and took me by a lock of my head. And the Spirit lifted me up between the earth and the sky, and brought me in the visions of God to Jerusalem, to the door of the gate of the inner court that looks toward the north, where there was the seat of the image of jealousy, which provokes to jealousy. How awful. But back there in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the inner court, they had put up an image, an idol. And it's called the image of jealousy because it made God jealous. Now, God is a jealous God because he loves us so much. He has poured his love into us. And if we just shrug and go off, as it were, with somebody else, with our career, with our wealth, with our wrong relationships, with just the stuff of this life, well, he's going to get jealous. He's given us all his love, and we should fall before him and say, I want to give you everything, Lord. Where I fail, forgive me. But I don't, in my heart of hearts, I want to give you everything. I want to give you totally the shirt on my back. I'd sell my socks for you. You know, that's how we should feel. And like Romans 7 says, Paul says, you know, unfortunately, the good that I would, I don't do, and the evil that I would not, that I do. And so God is jealous when we're not like that, when we just say, I'm going to go off with somebody else. This was the image which provokes to jealousy, and the glory of the God of Israel was there. According to the appearance that I saw in the plain, that's that great vision of the cherubim in chapter 1. So there with this puny little image of jealousy, there is the glory of God. They're kind of contrasted, that in the face of God's glory, people want to worship idols. Then he said to me, Son of man, lift up your eyes now to the road that leads toward the north. So I lifted up my eyes toward the northern road, and behold, northward of the gate of the altar, this image of jealousy was in the entry. He said to me, Son of man, do you see what they do? Even the great abominations that the house of Israel do commit here, so that I should go far away from my sanctuary? But you shall again see other greater abominations. He brought me to the door of the court, and when I looked, there was a hole in the wall. Then he said to me, Son of man, dig now through the wall. And when I had dug through the wall, behold, a door. He said to me, Go in and see the wicked abominations that they do here. So I went in and saw, and behold, every form of creeping thing and abominable animals and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed around on the wall. So right there in the holy place, on the walls of the temple, they had drawn the pictures of their idols, and they had put their idols on the wall there in the form of unclean animals. How heartbreaking it was for God, and also for Ezekiel as a priest, to see that. And we are the temple of God. We ourselves, this is where God dwells in us. We are his temple. And if we have all these idols in us, well, it's the same shame and pain to God. There stood before them 70 men of the elders of Israel. And in their midst stood Jaazaniah, the son of Shaphan, every man with his censer in his hand, and the odour of the cloud of incense went up. Well, incense represented prayer, and the prayer should have been going to God, but instead it was going to their idols. Just like us, if instead of praying to God, we instead turn to idols, as it were, in our own hearts. Then he said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the dark? Every man in his rooms of images, they say, Yahweh doesn't see us, Yahweh has forsaken the land. I'm pretty sure they didn't actually say that in so many words, God doesn't see us. But it was their attitude that because we're doing this in the dark, in this darkened room inside the temple, nobody sees us. We're okay. And so they were reasoning that because man doesn't see you, therefore, well, of course, God doesn't. And God sees that, and he says, that's what they say, that's their attitude. And we can be the same. Nobody knows that I watched the wrong thing, sinful stuff, on a screen, or that I wrote this message to somebody that was angry and bitter. Nobody knows that in my heart I really despise and detest him or her. Nobody knows. But because nobody knows, that doesn't mean that God doesn't know. And this, I think, is the mature spiritual life, to live with complete openness before God, knowing that he sees everything, that you, God, see me. He said also to me, you will again see more greater abominations which they do. He brought me to the door of the gate of Yahweh's house, which was toward the north, and see, there sat the women weeping for Tammuz, one of their gods. Then he said to me, have you seen this, son of man? In other words, Ezekiel, do you get it? Do you see how bad they are? You shall again see greater abominations than these. He brought me into the inner court of Yahweh's house, and there at the door of Yahweh's temple, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs toward Yahweh's temple and their faces toward the east, and they were worshipping the sun toward the east. Then he said to me, have you seen this, son of man? Is it a trivial thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? They have filled the land with violence and have turned again to provoke me to anger. Therefore will I also deal with them in anger. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. Well, he says, is it a trivial thing that they do this? I think the idea was that they probably all would have said, yeah, this is a kind of sin. But it's not a big one. It's, you know, get over it. We're all human. To trivialize sin is awful, and because really, by doing that, you're trivializing God. You're saying that, yeah, this great God, the God of the cherubim, it's just a small thing, just a trivial thing. Yeah, that's sort of just religion. That's sort of my church life, And the same with thereby saying that sin likewise is a trivial thing. It's a small thing. She was angry, he cussed her. They're quite obsessed with their yacht, with their new house or whatever. This is not a trivial thing. We may trivialize it and say, we're all human. But the thing is, by considering that sin is a small thing, you consider that God is a small God. And he is not. We are to serve him with our whole heart, soul, and mind.